Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkort, who heads Vatican Radio's German programme, decided to interview Nigerian Bishop Matthew Kuka after reading an article in a German magazine describing the Boko Haram as a platform rather than a sect. But before I bring you this interview with the Bishop of Sokoto, Matthew Kuka, I'd like to put Sokoto on the map for you. During the dry season, the Harmattan wind blows here from the Sahara Desert, bringing dust and disease into the ochre-coloured savanna, coating over the occasional baobab tree. That's until the rainy season sweeps all the dust and disease away, and the fertile land is suddenly green again overnight. That was just to give you a feel of Sokoto, once one of the largest empires in Africa. Here lay the centre of politics and economics of what is now the northwestern region of Nigeria. At its height, it extended over 1,000 miles from current-day Burkina Faso to northern Cameroon. A sultanate founded in 1804 by Usman Danfodio, which began to disintegrate by the 1890s. First, internal rivalry brought civil war, and then in 1903, Sokoto fell to the French and British colonial armies. Under indirect colonial administration, Great Britain, which assumed control over 80% of this empire, allowed the Sultan to remain as ruler. And a sultanate is still in place in Sokoto today, where a centre of Islamic studies thrives, and where the current Sultan, Alhaji Mohammed Saad Abubakar III, is to this day spiritual leader of Nigeria's Muslims. A man who works closely with the Catholic Church in an effort to put an end to the current dramatic situation in his part of the world, voicing his condemnation of all violence, be it Muslim or Christian. While, all the while, the Islamist Boko Haram sect continues to kill. But as I mentioned a moment ago, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkort read in an article in a German magazine that this sect was described as a platform instead. That was by the Bishop of Sokoto, Matthew Kuka. Let's listen to Father Bernd's interview then.
Monsignor Kuka, in an article for a German magazine, you point out that Boko Haram is not a group but a platform for different groups. What exactly do you mean by that?
I guess that is because of the nature of the conversation itself and even the targets that some of these groups have aimed at. For example, there have been cases of attacks that the Nigerian media and ordinary Nigerians have tended to simply attribute to Boko Haram. And not once, not twice, Boko Haram had said, no, we had nothing to do with this, that or the other. Clearly, at one level, we hear statements like Boko Haram saying we don't have any problem with Christians, we don't have any problem with ordinary Nigerians, and yet the next thing, something completely different happens. So I personally don't think that you have a central organization that is under the control of an individual. 3 weeks ago, the papers reported that one of the leaders of Boko Haram was said to have been killed by the members themselves on grounds that he was about to defect to the side of the government. So clearly, I think what started some 3 or so years ago, since the death of Yusuf, has changed into perhaps different groups with different interests and different agendas.
What does unite these groups?
Well, I think the first thing is that there is more or less what you might call a platform that has been created, namely the weakness of the Nigerian state itself, the seeming inability of the security agencies to get their hands around the problem. So various aspects of men and women with different criminal intentions are being manifested. And I think what we see is clearly evidence that there are people with different kinds of basis for frustration. There are people with genuine moral grouses. There are people who are fed up with the problem with the political and other forms of corruption. There are also people who may have taken advantage of this situation, those who lost elections and those who have other problems relating to simple issues of thefts, such as what we have had in cases involving some parts of the Middle Belt, simple cases of theft like cattle rearers losing their cattle to thieves, people fighting over boundaries and all kinds of other things. So there's just so much discontentment on the ground, and what we are witnessing are various manifestations of that discontentment.
The government of Nigeria has several times promised to deal with the Boko Haram, but this has not stopped the militants from attacking and killing people, obviously. Do you think the government is serious or is just playing politics here?
I think the government is serious. I don't think it is playing politics, but I think that it's probably seriously treating a disease that has not been properly diagnosed, because clearly, if they had the right diagnosis and the right pills, we will be witnessing a bit of healing, not the constant deterioration of the problem. So I do not think that what we have on the ground is necessarily evidence that the government is playing politics, because whoever wants to play politics with this would realize that it is a fire that is burning way beyond what anybody would have expected. I think what we are dealing with is just a question of competence and capacity and experience. So I wouldn't put it down to people who are just playing politics or not serious. Because when the president says, for example, that this will end in 6 months or that this will go away, so it shows more or less a level of the appreciation of the nature of the problem that we are faced with. And to say that also takes you to the quality of advice that the president may be getting and the capacity of the security agencies to really and truly understand the very complex nature of northern Nigeria itself and even northern Islam itself. So I think it's a combination of a lot of issues that perhaps may have surpassed the proper understanding of those who are in power. People mean well, but I don't think that they have the capacity to really understand what the issues are.
Given that your diocese is one of the areas where Boko Haram is active, what does the church, what does your diocese do in order to restore dignity and peace for the people?
Actually, the part of Nigeria that my diocese is in, the four states that make up Sokoto Diocese, Katsina, Kebbi, Sokoto, and Zamfara, have been relatively quite peaceful. I mean, the northwest zone has been relatively quite peaceful. But historically, those areas have really never been, except for occasional flashes such as what we had in 2011. But violence related to Boko Haram, no. We've been relatively insulated, so to say, from that crisis. But again, that also tells you the kind of issues that are being contested. So part of the Northeast, where a lot of this is manifesting itself, is also, it has a long history of this kind of agitations from the 80s and even much earlier than that, from the Metasine riots and so on, Maiduguri, Kano, to some extent Bauchi, Gombe, and parts of Yola and all those places.
What are the demands of the militants? What do they want from the government or from the society or from church, from the cities they attack?
Well, I think this is the most unfortunate aspect of it all. From the very incoherent expressions such as we want to make Nigeria an Islamic state, to such statements like the president and the government or the security agencies are our targets. It is very clear and should be clear to anybody that these are not people who have sat down and thought through what exactly it is that they want to achieve. And this is why I think that what we have in our hands is a little fire that was left unattended, and it has now become a massive wildfire, which has also made it even more difficult to get our hands around the problem. But clearly, from the utterances of people and the kind of, you know, the people who are speaking on behalf of this group, it does seem very clear that from their incoherent statements that these are people who you cannot say understand how to run a state, or these are not people who have thought through how complex Nigeria is, or these are people who just want to take power, because none of that comes through in the kind of things that they are saying.
In the last few weeks, Boko Haram has carried out attacks on Christian places, has it not, of worship in which many people have died and many more have been wounded and property has been destroyed. What are the feelings? What's the atmosphere in Nigeria at the moment?
I think it's important to note, you know, that wherever Boko Haram has struck or people who cause violence and is attributed to Boko Haram, the feeling of revulsion has been felt right across the country, across religious lines. And although it may sound a bit difficult to understand, but clearly, and some of us are of this position, that the problems we are dealing with are not problems of Christians versus Muslims. If that were the case, then we might say Christians would have been going around burning churches or whatever. I am not unaware of the fact that there are people or groups who probably hope that they can pull Nigeria into some kind of a much larger religious conflagration. But clearly, from the way Muslims themselves have reacted, the statements of people like the Sultan, a lot of other emirs and many prominent religious leaders within Islam, it will not be right to attribute what we are facing as a conflict between Christians and Muslims. And my view is that by targeting places of worship, especially the Catholic Church, many of these people are literally just looking for more attention, because you know, of course, that if you are dealing with the Catholic Church, you are dealing with a church that is well beyond just the boundaries of Africa, or, I mean, you are dealing with literally the entire world altogether. But I will not attribute this to any kind of what I'll call a resentment or evidence that we have a conflict or a crisis between Christians and Muslims, because on both sides, clearly this organized nature of this crisis simply means that anybody could be anywhere. And as you have seen, it is not only Christians who have died, and I always want to insist that we should actually be focusing more on Nigerians who have died as opposed to counting Christians and Muslims. Because some of the areas where these bombs have exploded, we've had cases of people just dying because they happen to be in the wrong place. So, and these people are going around looking for places where they can inflict maximum damage to cause to draw maximum attention to themselves.
And you were listening there to Nigerian Bishop of Sokoto, Matthew Kuka, speaking to Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord. Our thanks go to both of them. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.